You guys, will you join me in Acts 15? We're going through the book of Acts all the way through Easter. And the idea here is that as little Christ, we would be like Jesus. We're right here in church. You can say his name. Been out coaching baseball a little bit this week. Them boys know how to say his name. One or two of them is actually talking to him. You guys, look, Jesus is the answer for us. But don't just sprinkle J-E-S-U-S on our, just don't throw some Bible verses at it. What is it that we would do? Last week, we looked at the fact that there is a whole lot that goes on in sacrificing and giving and telling the truth about Jesus. And there are people that either agree or disagree. There's people that would love what you're doing one day and not the next. But what we're about to find out about is people who were Jewish, like literally born and raised Jewish. They followed Yahweh. They believed him. And then they met Jesus, his son, and they still believed in him. But they said to the people who would become Christians, you've got to become Jewish first. You've got to be circumcised. Look, we're in a room with some kids, and so I'm just going to ask this right now. Moms, dads, if I explain circumcision just really quickly what it is, would you prefer me not to tell people, your little people, what that is? Put your hand up if you don't want me to say what circumcision is, because I'm going to get to that point, and I was going to explain it, not graphically, but I'm going to use big person terms. Are we good? You're shaking your hand. Is your mom and dad, are they in this room? All right. Can somebody go find Colleen and see if she's all right if I explain that with her child in the room? Thank you. So while you're going to do that, I'll ask you guys to join me in Acts 15. We have Bibles underneath you. Some of them have been sprayed. I can tell you all of them have been, but at least I know the first four rows that I sprayed. I don't know about the rest. I'm sure they have. John's amazing, and he cleaned up a bunch of stuff before he left and then said, you're going to have to do it again. And I did, to the fourth row. All right. Here we go. Acts 15, 1 through 5. But some men came down from Judea, and we're teaching the brothers and sisters, unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. What was the question? Do they have to be circumcised to be saved? Okay, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, non-Jewish places. This is really cool. Look at what happens on this. On their way to Jerusalem, they stop by these Gentile places, and they describe in detail the conversion of the Gentiles. And they brought great joy to all the brothers and sisters. They're bragging about God's work in saving Gentiles. To those who were Jewish and those who were Gentile. And there was a big old celebration about it. Now when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it's necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So this has to happen. They have to be, for them to actually be saved, they have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. Okay. I was going to explain to you, but I haven't heard that it's okay to explain this. But let me just say, circumcision... I'm good? Circumcision is very, very intimate for a man. There is, at the end of a male penis, extra skin. Or skin. Some people don't call it extra at all. And God said, as a sign that you are my people, very intimately you will remember with what you will be doing all kinds of things with as a man. Trim that skin off as a covenant. And they're saying, look, Gentiles, glad you believe in Jesus. But for you to really be able to be saved, you've got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Something, as we're about to read, that nobody has been able to do. Keep all the law of Moses. Nobody. And so here's a very profound moment that I want to ask you. What's the problem that we're seeing here in this church? It's division. And what are they divided over? This is a big one. The requirement of circumcision and keeping the law of Moses for what, though? To be saved. Is there anything that you and I can do to be saved on our own? And some of us would say, yes. Some people believe it's taking proper communion. Taking the elements properly. Believing that they are the blood and the body of Christ. Having it not ripped and dipped. Having it not like this. Only doing it at a particular time. Being baptized a particular way into a particular church. Then you can be saved. If you pray the prayer just like this, then you can be saved. There's a lot of different things that people say you must do to be saved. And they're saying you must do circumcision and keep the law of Moses. So that's a problem. Do we recognize that they've got a problem there, a division? Okay, so what's the solution? Man, just get them circumcised. Just have them follow the law entirely and we're good. No, that's not a solution. What doesn't even get brought up most of the time is, what about the women? Oh, well, they're just kind of grandfathered in. You can't get circumcised, but we'll get circumcised for you. Okay, so what's the solution? If it's not circumcision and keeping the law, then what is the solution? Remember what Jesus did. Good. It's Jesus. But again, so as to not just sprinkle a little J-E-S-U-S on it and just say his name and somehow that's going to change everything, although his name is powerful. Let's unpack this. Verse 7. So they got together, the apostles and the elders, and the whole church. They're gathered together to consider this matter. Like, these are Jews. And after there had been much debate, which sounds like church, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, now it's a heart condition issue, not what you can do, but your heart. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Church, this is so important. Grace and faith. Look, we're going to hear grace in just a second. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. The grace of Jesus, not your efforts, not all the things that you can do to keep all your ducks in a row. Well, I give. I actually give more than a tithe, which tithe is 10%, and so that's a lot of money today, but I give more. I go to Bible studies. I host a Bible study. For goodness sake, I make communion stuff for people. I know the Bible. I've got a master's degree in it. I don't personally, but I'm saying this, you know, some people say that. And they've learned so much, so God owes them. I mean, they're saved because of what they've done. God is saying it's faith. And even faith, it says in Ephesians 2, is a gift from God. And so I want to tell you something that I believe, and not everybody necessarily articulates it this way, in our leadership. I believe that we are dead in our sin, and Jesus makes us alive. And in making us alive, now we get to choose, yes or no. He's the one. My son-in-law says it like this. It's not like we were struggling trying to keep water afloat, like, oh, I'm just dog paddling, I'm doing the best that I can. And then Jesus goes, oh, man, you look like you're struggling. Let me help you out. He says we are dead at the bottom of the pool. And Jesus gives us life. And that gift allows us to have faith, which is also a gift. It's his grace and his faith that saves us. His, not where we were born, what we look like, how much dough we have or don't have. Whew. See, at this point, I found myself a couple weeks ago, and then especially even right now, like on Tuesday, I found myself remembering my favorite rapper. His name is William Branch, but he goes by The Ambassador. And so here's a little something from Eternal Cypher for you. The cross movement. Don't mean to bore you with math, and I'm sure you can add, but only Jesus plus zero equals life, or you get wrath. It's not us, it's Jesus. And he wants us to be saved. We have to accept him. How do I know to accept him? He makes us alive, and we want him. If you're sitting here right now going, no, I don't get, then hang in there. I pray in Jesus' name that your eyes and your ears and your heart would be open. But if you know that he's the truth and you don't want him, that's on you. I can't make you do that, although I love to try. I'm very persuasive. And yet, many people are, you can't make me do it. And you know what? You're absolutely right. And if I made you, would it even be you choosing that? Okay. So back to this. I don't know if you ever heard this, and please go back to Acts 15:12, but I don't know if you ever heard this saying, but there's an old Hebrew idiom, and I don't know how to say it in Hebrew, so I'll say it like this. You have two Jews, you have three opinions. There's a lot going on, and you don't have to be Jewish for that, by the way, but that's what this is, and these guys are Jews, and so Peter goes, look, you trying to do this? God said through me 10 years before this moment, by the way, that Gentiles can be saved, and he gave them his spirit, and they received it, and his spirit, and they're saved, and good stuff happened. Let's not try to put anything on these people that we ourselves can't do. It's grace that saves us. And so all these Jewish men who were leaders and smart, educated, had much to say, fell silent. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James, who, by the way, is Jesus' half-brother, and if you go to John 7, James and his other brothers, Jesus' little half-brothers, were making fun of Jesus. They didn't believe Jesus. They didn't know that he was who he said he was. They thought he had a Messiah complex. And they said, why don't you just go on down and be public if you're this public figure? They didn't believe him. But something happened that changed everything for James. Do you know what it was? Jesus died and rose from the dead. That changes everything. Now James is a leader in the church. Like the leader, it says. And so he listens to all this. Everybody's silent. And James, after these guys, Barnabas and Paul, were bragging about what God did with the Gentiles, not what they did, but what God did, when they finished speaking, James said, brothers, listen to me. Simeon, which is yet another name for Peter, he's got Simon, Peter, and Simeon. Why not? So he's related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. He's like, so you heard that. And with these words, the words of the prophets agree. just as it is written. And he goes to Amos 9, what they all would understand is the Bible, the Old Testament as we look at it. After this, I'll return, and I'll rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it. I will take care of the Jewish people, that the remnants of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. I will call everybody who will be called, everybody who will be saved. Jew, Gentile, dark, light, man, woman, child. Everybody who would be saved. He quotes the Old Testament saying, this has been around for a long time. It's not us, it's God who does the saving. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God. Don't trouble them. Don't make it harder on them. But we should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols. There was food. There was sacrifices that were offered to idols. And some people felt okay with eating them. You could check it out in 1 Corinthians. Some people had a kind of faith like, I don't worship idols. I like a burger. Give me some. But he's saying, look, there's some Jews around you that have a hard time with this. So don't eat that food. Abstain from that. Choose to not do that. And then he goes to mention a couple of other things. And abstain from sexual immorality. That's very good for everybody, not just for the Jews and for the Gentiles. But Gentiles have the cultural moray to just do whatever you want to do. I mean, whatever. And there was a lot of nastiness. So abstain from that. Abstain from that which has been strangled and from blood. Don't eat food that has the lifeblood in it. These are all things that aren't for salvation. Therefore, abstaining from so you don't cause your brothers or your sisters to stumble. Because for from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him. For he's read every Sabbath. He is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. What he's saying to them is, look, it's good for you to abstain from some things because there's Jews everywhere and we don't want you to cause them to stumble. We want them to be saved too. We want them to know the truth. And so don't do these things that are highly offensive to the Jewish people. And I want to be able to, by way of quoting Jesus, bring you to John 15, 12 through 13, that brings this whole thing around for me. Jesus, earlier in this, says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he also says, I am the true vine. If you're apart from me, you don't have life. I'm going to prune you and all these things. He's saying, it's not about you. I've got you. I'm the king. And then he says this. This is my commandment. John 15, 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You know what Jesus is saying? Same thing that his little brother was saying, same thing that Paul was saying, the same thing that Peter is saying. Love is sacrificial. Love lays down its rights. Love doesn't call what's wrong right. Love doesn't say that something that is true is false, but love is sacrificial. If you want the best example ever, it's Jesus. He who knew no sin became our sin. Like, he didn't just wear sin, he became our sin on the cross. And he died. He who was perfect died. And when he died, sin died, and he paid that debt. And when he was put in the grave, it was grieving, and oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then he rose, and we get to celebrate that all the time. But in April, we get to really have this party. And he defeated death as well. Love is sacrificial. And Jesus is our example. He's calling us to lay our lives down. Kind of a sneak peek of a series coming to you, we're going to Ephesians 5 for a second. It's again 15. I don't know why all this worked out, but there's 15s and there's 21s and all that. But here we are, Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. If you're married, this will help. If you're unmarried, this will help. If you're a kid, this will help. If you're an adult, this will help. If you're sick, this will help. If you're healthy, this will help. I guess you might get that if you're anything, this is going to help you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. So right now, I've had friends of mine say, well, it doesn't say anything about weed or opiates, so I'm good. No, this is actually being high on anything other than God. So don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. It's wild living. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. That means be drunk with Him, be filled, be immersed in Him, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I love musicals. We just had one. I was just talking about Phoenix being in one. This isn't like, bless your beautiful hide, right? They're just trying to say something. This is actually singing out of the overflow of a heart. Be good to one another. Be stoked. And how do you do it? By singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Celebrate God with one another. That's the overflow of a heart that's been saved. Giving thanks always. Maybe that word means something else. Nope, it means always. And for everything, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Whoo! This preacher, Albert Mohler, had something I wanted to share with you really quick. He says, James and Paul are calling the Gentiles to love their Jewish brothers and sisters by not intentionally provoking them to frustration. I can eat this burger. I'm free. You can do whatever you want. Is it beneficial? Is it going to help other people? Look, there's so much you can read. I want to give you some homework to go and read. 1 Corinthians 9, 12, and 13. God's call for submission is always a call to you first. The Bible doesn't say, clothe Patrick with humility. Kathy needs humility. I'll just lay it out for her and I'll help her put it on. Clothe yourself with humility. In John 21, we've got this unbelievable time where Jesus is walking with Peter. After Jesus rose from the dead, he's walking with Peter and he's restoring him because Peter denied him three times and he restores him three times. Do you love me? Yeah, feed my fish or feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I'm back. Feed him with fish. I don't know what you're going to do. Anyways, feed the sheep three times, right? And he restores him. And then he basically tells him, you're going to die, and it's not going to be pretty, Peter. And you know what Peter says? Well, what about that guy? And you know what Jesus says? Focus, Peter. You follow me. That's how we work through divisions at home, at school, at work, and in the church, as we focus on Jesus. So I want to ask you to find practical ways to love somebody that you don't agree with. Talking to them is a really good spot to start. We avoid people we don't agree with. Sometimes there's people that just want to fight and argue, and you could tell them, look, I don't want to do that. I want to just talk with you. I want to hear from you. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned over the course of 30 years of being married. Listening is different than hearing. Hearing is taking in information that I can use now, a against you or to make a point. Listening is taking in information to understand where you're coming from. And then we can have conversations. I can ask for clarity and all that. But if I'm just wanting to make a point, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to hear. And it's really easy to do. Listening is hard. So find practical ways. Listen to podcasts of people you don't agree with. Understand where they're coming from. You may not agree with them still after you listen, but you might understand them a little more. So here we go. I've got to finish. I'm going to go back to Acts 15. And they send this letter. They give this letter to these guys. They read the conditions, not the conditions of salvation, but the conditions of good fellowship. Don't do these things to cause your brothers to stumble. And so when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. Wait, but they told them not to do some things they could do. They found it encouraging. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. Like, go ahead, go home, I think we got it. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And then something crazy happened. Acts 16, 1 through 5. Well, I'll tell you this. There's actually an argument that happened, and there was a separation of these guys, Paul and Barnabas, and they went different directions, still in Jesus' name. And they went and they preached to all and strengthened all the churches, and they ended up coming back together again, loving each other, forgiving each other, being in on each other's lives again. And that was cool. But this is the crazy thing that I'm talking about. Acts 16, 1 through 5. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, a Christ follower, but his father was a Greek. This would be a man who was not 100% Jewish. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him as an adult because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders, which had nothing to do with circumcision. But he chose as an adult to be circumcised so he didn't cause problems for people to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. He's delivering this letter to them probably with a little bit of a limp. You guys, this is just so amazing. Later on, we find out that Titus, who's also a Gentile, didn't get circumcised. It's in the moment. It's knowing what God is telling you to do. It's being attuned to his voice, and it's choosing to not divide. The truth of Jesus will divide people, but you don't have to beat anybody over the head with it. Walk it out. Live it out. Look what happens. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Dear friends, I want to ask you to pray with me for all of us, that we would have insight, wisdom, discernment, and courage to love like Jesus loves. Because if you think being an adult male who wasn't circumcised and then get circumcised just so you don't cause some Jews to think this Jesus thing is stupid, or so they know the real good news, if you think that's a sacrifice, let me tell you about one so much better. God became creation. God took on our sin. Jesus, God in the flesh, died. And he rose from the dead. That's a sacrifice. So when you're at odds with people, what can you do to be like Jesus with them? Jesus never left the truth out, but he didn't come swinging it with a big old hammer. He was filled with grace and truth all at the same time. And we need his help to know what that looks like. Jesus, I praise you so much that you are our example. I do pray for us to have insight in the situations that we're in or that we're going to be in. I pray, Lord, for wisdom and discernment. I pray for the courage to live like you and to love like you. In this day and age, Lord, especially, there are so many people that are divided. And we confess that many times we are too. Sometimes we're divided in our own mind and our heart. So help us to live like you, to love like you, to serve like you. Jesus, now and always, I pray this in your righteous name. Amen.